I have a subject that the Lord placed on my heart this morning, but before I did that, I just had a story I wanted to tell, just a short story. It has nothing to do with my sermon today. I don't know where Dennis is, but it has something to do with him. 2 weeks ago, we had a sacrament service, and Dennis and I were taking care of it. We were in charge, and I got up to say the prayer for the bread, and I opened up my Book of Mormon. I'm trying to find the Book of Moroni, and I can't find it, even though it's the last book in the Book of Mormon. I cannot find it at all. And so I think Dennis got a little worried, and then he started fumbling for his Book of Mormon. He got it out, you know, was turning to it, and I found the chapter, Moroni 4 or whatever, right in time. But I thought, I'm never going to let that happen again. So in my old Book of Mormon, I had little tabs in it to tell me where everything was, and that one was stolen, unfortunately, but I've got some new gold foil and index tabs here. So hopefully that'll never happen again. And I think that's kind of a worry sometimes. I know when I'm up here, if I need to find a verse, you know, I thought, I hope I can find that. You know, luckily I've got the thumb indexing in here, but I think that's a secret fear of anybody who comes up here, you know, even during Sunday school, if you're teaching Sunday school or whatever, you can't find the book, you know, and I think that would probably be a good nightmare. Say, you know, you're up here having to do something for the church and you can't find the chapter, you just can't find it. You know, it would be kind of like a bad dream. But so anyways.
Then you wake up.
Yeah, and then you wake up and you can get these. I found them on Amazon.com. I think they were $3.99.
So. Yeah, the Mormon store in Independence.
Yeah, I saw them there. I didn't get them at the time. I should have. Amazon.com, I think they're $3.99. So anyways, now we'll get started here. Today we're studying the Book of Matthew in Sunday school. And we were talking, you know, quite a bit about Jesus, of course, since, you know, pretty much all of the Gospels are about him. But I was thinking about, you know, that time when Jesus was here. And what would it be like? What would it be like to being able to converse with the Lord, talk to him, go and find where he is and follow him around? You know, here's God in the flesh, and he's here on the earth, and those people could just go and talk to him. You know, the personage of the Godhead that created everything, that created you, you could just go talk to him. You know, he was right there, right in front of you, and you could find him and have fellowship with him. And I thought, man, it really would have been neat to live back in and to be able to do that. You know, it would have been an amazing thing. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about people that had experiences with the Lord when he was here, when he was walking this earth. And there's a point to all this. You know, I'm going to go through all this, and we're going to look back at people that, you know, met with the Lord and talked to him. But there's a purpose for it all. And I guess I get about halfway through this, and I'll tell you what that purpose is. It's kind of like a surprise. But it's not something you don't already know. It's obvious, but I'm calling a surprise. So let's start talking about some of these people. The shepherds, Luke 2, 15 to 20. Okay, so this is, you know, something that we read around Christmas time quite often. Luke 2, 15 to 20, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So that they have this experience of seeing these angels. And, you know, what a glorious thing that would be to be able to see the angels. And, wow, I can go and I can see the Messiah. You know, this great Christ child, I can go and go find him there in the manger. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So here in verse 18, this is something that stuck out to me. The shepherds have this experience, you know, and they're going to go here and see the baby Jesus. And they told other people about it. And it says here that the people wondered about these things. So, you know, somebody came up to you and said, Messiah, the Christ child, you know, he's coming, he's here, God in the flesh. You can go see him if you want to. He's here. You know, what would I think about that? Would I believe it? Would I take it seriously? Or he said, no, there's no way. This is just a joke. God's coming down here, you know, in a baby as a baby. Are you kidding me? But no matter what, you know, this was a great blessing to those shepherds that to have this happen to them and be able to go and see the baby Jesus. You know, what a wonderful thing that would be to see, to look down into the manger and to see God right there in the flesh. This is the experience that Simeon had. We also talk about this during Christmas time. Luke 2, 25 through 32, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. So, you know, the Holy Ghost was moving among them, this man, you know, prior to even that day of Pentecost. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So here again is another experience with the baby Jesus, and it says back here, you know, he took him and he picked him up in his arms. And I think, you know, if Christ the Messiah as a baby was brought to me, would I even want to hold him? You know, would I want to hold baby Jesus? I'd probably be a little scared to. I don't know if I would do it or not, but can you imagine that, you know? Christ the Messiah, God in the flesh, taking him and just holding him in your hands. You know, what a blessing that would be. It would be incredible. Matthew 2, 1 through 11. Now we know the story of the wise men. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. So, you know, the wise men, they were right where they needed to be, perhaps spiritually. I'm just kind of assuming that, but they were, you know, attentive enough that they knew of the prophecy of Jesus Christ. And because of that, you know, they had prepared themselves and they were ready for this event. And when, you know, Christ came, they had everything ready. They were going to go and they were see him. They even had gifts that they were going to give to him. You know, if this were to happen to us, would we be in that same, have that same mindset? Would we be prepared for the Christ child? Or would we just say, he's not going to come. I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. You know, would we be like those Pharisees and Sadducees we read about today? Or would we be like the wise men right here? And, you know, what an amazing thing this would be to be able to see the star up in the sky, you know, and be able to follow it. You know, we're not accustomed to things like that, to miracles. And we've got movies we watch and, you know, fantasy things we read, stuff like that. That's not true at all. But yet, there are things like that that are true with the Lord, you know, just the star appearing and all these many miracles. And what a wonderful thing that would be. And, you know, what gift would you bring if the baby Jesus was here on earth? What would you take to him? You know, that would be hard. I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would take to him. But, you know, I'm thankful that no matter what it was I took to the Lord, I think if I did it with the right attitude and my heart was where it would need to be, you know, the Lord would be pleased with that. And when I was thinking about this, I started thinking about the little drummer boy. And I know our kids are familiar with Little Drummer Boy, and we try to watch this every year. It's one of those Rankin-Bass cartoons or puppet, I don't know what it's called, animation things. But there's a story, the Little Drummer Boy. His parents died at when he was young, and because of what happened, this little drummer boy was very upset, and he was distraught, and he just did not have a good attitude. He was just mad at the world that this had happened, and then eventually there were some traveling entertainers that came, and they kidnapped the little drummer boy. They kidnapped him, and they took his animals. This little drummer boy was friends with these three animals, the camel, the donkey, and the sheep. And they took the little drummer boy, and they forced him to work as an entertainer. And he didn't like it at all. The little drummer boy didn't like it at all. And eventually, he was let go. He was set free. But he heard the story of the star that was in the sky, and he heard how these three wise men, in this particular story, there were three of them. He heard how they were going to go and they were going to travel to the baby Jesus, and he wanted to go and he wanted to find those kings. So he went and he followed the same star that the wise men followed. And when he got there, when he got into Bethlehem, there was this chariot that came in through town, a Roman chariot. It was going really fast. And they rode over this boy's sheep. And so his sheep was not doing good. It was on the verge of death. And the little drummer boy was really distraught about this. And so he took the sheep, he said, took him to the kings. He said, you know, can you help me? My little sheep has been injured, and he's not going to make it. He's going to die. And the king said, I can't do anything about it. I can't do anything about it. But maybe there's one that is, you know, maybe the Lord, the baby Jesus, can heal this sheep for you. So the little drummer boy, he didn't know quite what to do. And he had a drum. It was a very special drum that his parents had given to him. And so he takes this drum and he walks up to where the baby Jesus is. And he made a song just with his drums. He started beating the drum. He didn't sing, but he played this beautiful song. And you know, the Lord, you know, had so much appreciation for it and loved this little drummer boy so much that he healed a sheep for him as a baby. And I just think that's, it's a really neat story. And again, if you were the little drummer boy to be able to walk up to baby Jesus, you know, I play guitar. Would I even want to go up and play my guitar with Sister Mary Sue? Want to play the organ or the piano for him, you know? That would be a hard thing for me to do. I wouldn't want to mess up or anything. But again, the Lord, I think, would appreciate our effort and if we have the right attitude about it. So again, another example, this of course, I don't know if this is a true story or not, but it's a neat story. I was thinking about this. I don't know if you've heard about Christopher. You know, he's called St. Christopher, I think, in the Catholic Church. But I have a little bookmark that was given to me when I was young. It says, Christopher, the Christ bearer, bearer of Christ. And there's a story to this person. I don't know if it's true or not, but I think it's a neat story about Christopher. And it says, after Christopher had performed this service for some time, a little child asked him to take him across the river. During the crossing, the river became swollen and the child seemed as heavy as lead, so much that Christopher could scarcely carry him, and found himself in great difficulty. When he finally reached the other side, he said to the child, "You have put me in the greatest danger. I do not think the whole world could have been as heavy on my shoulders as you were." The child replied, "You had on your shoulders not only the whole world, but him who made it. I am Christ your King, whom you are serving by this work." The child then vanished. Well, can you imagine that? You know, whether this is a true story or not, you know, maybe you had an encounter with Jesus and you had to carry him or do something with him. And, you know, I think after you did this, you know, I think after a while it would start really make a large impression on you. You'd say, you know, what did I just do? I just had an encounter with the Lord. Wow, what amazing thing was that? You know, and it may not dawn on you right at the beginning, but eventually I think it would. I thought that was a neat story. I wanted to share it. What about this one? Matthew 3:13-17, another encounter with the Lord. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer it to be so for now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You know, if we had priesthood authority to baptize the Lord, we are called of God to baptize the Lord, you know, would we even want to do it? You know, here God in the flesh walks up to you and says, "You need to baptize me." You know, okay, I guess I'll do it. I don't, you know, I'm the one that needs remission of sins, you know, but I'll go ahead and baptize you. And can you imagine what it was like for John the Baptist to take the Lord and put him in the water and bring him back up? You know, what another special experience. Let's turn to John 1:35-46. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto him, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master." "Where dwellest thou?" Now here they have another encounter with the Lord, and they're going to ask him, "Well, where does he, you know, where do you live?" And says, "He saith unto them, Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So, you know, you have an opportunity to go to fellowship with the Lord, and you're going to go to see where he lives. You know, what an amazing thing that would be, just to be able to do that. Verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And we talked about this today. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, Come and see. So, you know, if somebody were to walk up to you, if you were to be living during this time period and said, you know, come and see the Messiah, you know, what amazing thing that would be, just for somebody to be able to tell you that, you to have that opportunity to go and see Jesus Christ, you know. I can't imagine what that would have been like. Another example here, Acts 1, 6 through 9. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea, and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So, a last encounter with the Lord, and, you know, if the miracles weren't enough, the miracles they had already seen, here goes Jesus Christ up into the sky, into the cloud, just like that. You know, again, you know, we know of, like, the fantasy that we read in books and some of the movies that the kids watch, but this was something that was true. It really took place. And just to be able to see something like that, you would really be in awe. Just like when Christ, you know, comes back and he returns, to see someone up in the clouds returning, you know, what an amazing thing that would be. I've got one more. Now, the Nephites and the Lamanites, 3 Nephi 5, 1 through 17. And now it came to pass that there were a great multitude gathered together, the people of Nephi, round about the temple, which was in the land Bountiful. And they were marveling and wondering one with another, and were showing one to another the great and marvelous change which had taken place. And they were also conversing about this Jesus Christ, of which the sign had been given concerning his death. And it came to pass that while they were thus conversing with one another, they heard a voice as if it came out of heaven, and they cast their eyes round about, for they understood not the voice which they heard. And it was not a harsh voice, neither was it a loud voice. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding it being a small voice, it did pierce them that they did hear to the center, insomuch that there was no part of their frame that it did not cause to quake. Yea, it did pierce them to the very soul, and did cause their hearts to burn. And it came to pass that again they heard the voice, and they understood it not. And again the third time they did hear the voice, and did open their ears to hear it. And their eyes were towards the sound thereof, and they did look steadfastly toward heaven from whence the sound came. And behold, the third time they did understand the voice which they heard. And it saith unto them, Behold my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I have glorified my name. Hear ye him. So if, you know, if God were to talk to you, you know, today in the same type of voice, what a great privilege that would be. What an amazing thing it would be. And these people had that opportunity. I wish I could have been back there at that time to hear this. You know, I would have wanted to hear what the Lord had to say. And, you know, we need to make sure that we're right where we need to be with the Lord so we can hear that still small voice. But to be able to hear this, his piercing voice. You know, I wish I could have been back there. Why did they get to experience this and I didn't get to, you know? That's another question we're going to talk about a little bit. And it came to pass, as they understood, they cast their eyes up again towards heaven, and behold, they saw a man descending out of heaven. And he was clothed in a white robe, and he came down and stood in the midst of them. And the eyes of the whole multitude were turned upon him, and they durst not open their mouths, even one to another, and wist not what it meant, for they thought it was an angel that had appeared unto them. And it came to pass that he stretched forth his hand and spake unto the people, saying, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, of which the prophets testified should come into the world. And behold, I am the light and life of the world, and I have drunken out of that bitter cup which the Father hath given me, and I have glorified the Father in taking upon me the sins of the world, in the which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. So here this person comes down, and everything that they had been taught, everything that they had put faith in, you know, here it's happening right before their eyes. And, you know, I believe this stuff, and now it's really happening. Wow. You know, what a great thing. What a very special thing that I had faith in the Lord, and I put my trust to where it needs to be, and now these things are coming to pass, and I'm seeing it play out right before my eyes. Verse 13, And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, the whole multitude fell to the earth, for they remembered that it had been prophesied among them that Christ should show himself unto them after his ascension unto heaven. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto them, saying, Arise, and come forth unto me, that ye may thrust your hands into my side, and also that ye may feel the prints of the nails in my hands, and in my feet, that ye may know that I am the God of Israel, and the God of the whole earth, and I have been slain for the sins of the world. And it came to pass that the multitude went forth and thrust their hands into his side, and did feel the prints of the nails in his hands and his feet. And this they did do, going forth one by one, until they had all gone forth, and did see with their eyes, and did feel with their hands, and did know of a surety, and did bear record, that it was he of whom it was written by the prophet should come. And it came to pass that when they had all gone forth and had witnessed for themselves, they did cry out with one accord, saying, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Most High God. And they did fall down at the feet of Jesus and did worship him. So the Lord comes. He comes down into their midst. He, you know, acknowledges who he is. And he says, just, you know, go ahead. You know, feel the holes in my hands and my side. And my feet. And so the people at that time, they had the opportunity and the blessing to go up to the Lord and to touch him. You know, what would that be like to just touch him? You know, I wish I could have been there. I could have seen that, you know. Can I have an opportunity like this? So possible thoughts. If I could have only have lived when Jesus lived. If I only could have been there in person to see him preach and perform miracles. You know, maybe these are things that you're thinking about. If I could have only been there to talk to Jesus face to face. If I could have just spent a day with Jesus. I wish I would have lived then so Jesus could answer all my questions. You know, be able to go up to him. You know, I want to understand this better. I want you to tell me some of the, you know, the mysteries, you know, that you're going to kind of unfold to me. I want to know of some of these things. To see the Creator of all things, including myself, walk this earth would be amazing and truly humbling experience. To be able to walk or travel to where the Lord was would have been an amazing experience. Can you imagine what it would have been like to see or hold the baby Jesus? You know, again, what a neat and special thing that would be. You know, it would be the, you know, greatest experience probably in your life, the whole baby Jesus like that. So this is my surprise. Again, it's not really a surprise, but that's the main purpose of this sermon. Jesus will be here again, and you can be a part of that. That's my surprise. So we look back upon these people, and we see the opportunities that they had, but history is repeating itself again. You know, I could grab a piece of paper and I could say, on the 21st of August, 2016, the Church of Christ met in Bradley. you know, at this blessed spot, and they were looking forward to the coming of Christ, and they were trying to prepare themselves spiritually for that. You know, it's the history, it's coming back around again. We're getting ready for Jesus to come back down again. You know, what happened to them, it's going to happen to us. It's going to be a little bit different. You know, the Lord's going to come with power. But he's going to come down here, and we're going to be able to walk up to him and to feel the, you know, the holes in his hands and his feet and his side. You are going to be, you're part of that story. You're living this story right now. You know, what happened to them, it's kind of happening to you. And, you know, it's, and even if the Lord didn't come anytime soon, you're still living the story. You know, you're participating in the gospel and you're being blessed because of it. You know, you might be living in that right generation when Christ returns. I know everybody says that, been saying it for years, but you just might be. You know, you can be greatly blessed. You know, even if you pass away, you can rise and meet the Lord in the sky, and then you know, everybody that's still alive is going to rise up there with them as well. And we're going to come down here, back down on earth, and Jesus is going to reign, and we're going to be able to talk to him and ask him questions. And I suppose, you know, at that time, somebody's going to pin these things out. You know, when he comes down, what he says, I think someone will probably make a record of that. And it might be scripture going forward. So what scriptures regarding Christ's first coming could easily be applied to the second coming? You know, these specifically apply to the first coming. You know, I don't want to imply that I'm changing scripture or anything like that. But looking back at some of these scriptures, when they were looking forward to the first coming, they're somewhat applicable to us. Alma 7:40, about not many days hence, it says, "And not many days hence the Son of God shall come in his glory, and his glory shall be the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, equity, and truth, full of patience, mercy, and long-suffering, quick to hear the cries of his people and to answer their prayers." So I think this could be applied to us again. Like I said, not many days hence, you know, the Lord's going to return. He's going to come back with glory. He's the begotten of the Father. You know, he's full of grace. You know, he teaches us truth. He's very patient with us. You know, we're thankful for that. He's merciful. He's willing to wait for us, to give us some time, you know, to repent. And quick to hear the cries of his people, just like he might be quick to hear our cries, you know, one day. He'll be there to help us out. And he does that already, right now. And this is about delight, 2 Nephi 8:7. "Behold, my soul delighteth in proving unto my people the truth of the coming of Christ." So, you know, this was before the Lord's first coming. But, you know, are you looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ? Are you yearning for it? You know, are you, you have so much delight in it that you're willing to tell other people about it? You know, if they were to ask you about your faith, could you have the same example in your life and be the same way about the Lord returning? John the Baptist said it best. We talked about John the Baptist this morning, Matthew 3:1-12. And he was, given the commission to preach this message of preparation. So, you know, maybe, you know, there's a John the Baptist today, you know, somebody like John the Baptist today that's going to go out and, you know, prophet, go prepare the way for the Lord. You know, even amongst, you know, the church today that's being preached, prepare the way for the second coming of Christ. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So we should take this message to heart. Repent. The Lord's coming back. "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about the Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. So just like John was teaching back here and preaching, you know, we also need to know that we're supposed to produce fruit in our lives as well. You know, this is something that happened before the first coming, but we can easily apply it to ourselves. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. You know, just because you belong to this church doesn't mean you're going to make it. You know, you need to be right with the Lord, have that relationship with the Lord that was being talked about today. You know, follow his commandments. If you follow his commandments, you are going to have that relationship. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees, therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat. So that's going to happen when the Lord returns. There's going to be a purging, there's going to be fire. And, you know, we know of the two witnesses that are going to preach, you know, before the Lord returns. So this is, that's probably going to be very similar to what happened here. You know, it's a last warning that's coming. So, you know, when you read about John the Baptist and his message, think about yourself. 3 Nephi 4:44-48. We already talked about this a little bit. You know, what's the Lord going to say? What's the first thing? What's he going to say when he comes back down and he starts talking to us, and talking to people? What's he going to say? And it might be similar to this right here. It says, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And in me hath the Father glorified his name. You know, this relationship between the Father and the Son. Brother Adam talked about that last week. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as received me, to them I have given to become the sons of God. Even so will I to as many as shall believe in my name. For behold, by me redemption cometh, and in me is the law of Moses fulfilled. I am the light and the life of this world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He went to his own the first time, and they didn't receive him. They didn't want anything to do with the Lord. You know, will we have anything to want to do with the Lord when he returns, or will we fall into the same trap that these people did the first time? So last thing I have, this is kind of an addendum. It's not directly related to what I'm talking about, but when Christ does come, you know, the second time, how's it going to happen? And there was a dream, and the recent Zion's Advocate, you know, maybe you've already read it by now, but I wanted to share it again. I thought it was really neat. It's about the Lord returning. It was a dream by Sister Inez Wolf, Calico Local Cherokee, North Carolina. It was very recent, February 2016. In the dream, I was sitting in the living room watching TV, and the children were out on the porch talking and laughing with each other. It started getting cloudy, and then it started getting darker clouds. It started to flash lightning. And I believe that this was an inspired dream, and I think it's going to happen like this when the Lord returns. The clouds went to moving around. Then there was a purplish light in the clouds. One of the children said it must be a UFO, and they called me out on the porch and asked me, Why are the clouds like that? I said, I don't know. And then a big boom came out of the clouds, and they started opening up, and there was Jesus standing in the middle. Clouds, or some purple that's being talked about here. Lightning. A child asked me what it was. I told them it was Jesus. Then he came down out of the clouds, and he started separating everybody. When he came to me, he said, You belong here and here. So he took my hand and took me where the little children were. He said, "You belong here." And then I woke up. You know, I hope that he says that to us, that we can go to where the children are. You belong at this spot. You know, what a blessing that would be. What a blessing. You know, we talk about dreams and visions and prophecy in our scripture that people had, and here it's happening amongst us today in the church. You know, there's a dream here that a sister had. And what a blessing it is to us, you know, to have these messages from the Lord, to have that extra level of knowledge, you know, revelation. What a blessing that is. And that's all I have. So, you know, if you find yourself wanting to be with the Lord, just like the people did the first time he came, you know, think about what's coming in the future. You know, and you're being blessed already right now.